Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening. This is John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show, where we talk about all the latest news coming out of the NFL. We're also going to talk a little bit about Johnny Manziel and him getting a new opportunity with the Alliance of American Football. So we'll actually start with the San Francisco 49ers. You know, Dee Ford and DeForest Buckner will be a top-notch pass-rushing duo. Together, those two guys will be the backbone of an improving San Francisco 49ers defense. DeForest Buckner anchored the San Francisco 49ers defense in 2018, and his 12 sacks proved how tough he can be up front. Buckner was constantly swimming past offensive linemen, and it's tough to match up with San Francisco's defensive front because of his ability to collapse the pocket so quickly. There was times on film that the 24-year-old defender threw blockers like a rag doll and took off in full pursuit after the quarterback, which is why adding Dee Ford is such a big addition for the 49ers. There's already one star who can consistently perform at a high level for this group, Buckner. When you also put Ford on the edge, it's a tandem that can take over games because no one will be able to contain both of these elite pass rushers. Ford does it a little bit differently than Buckner, and he gets it done with speed. Offensive tackles can't prevent Ford from turning the corner, and that quickness alone can result in blindside hits on the quarterback. Dee Ford also has a relentless motor, so he'll give second and third efforts if he doesn't initially record the sack. Watching the former Kansas City Chief outside linebacker, you couldn't help but wonder why Andy Reid decided to let Ford go. Obviously, they didn't want to pay him a long-term deal, but it almost feels like they should have found a way to just pony up the money and retain him. The good news for San Francisco is they end up with a really good football player who can help this squad gain a step in the tough NFC West. You know, Jared Goff and Russell Wilson are the top gunslingers in that division, and the combination of Buckner and Ford will have those two running for their lives. That's a great advantage for the 49ers to have on their side. So the San Francisco 49ers, very good defensive front in terms of, you know, having DeForest Buckner and what he brings to the table for that team. You could already tell they were improving last season. Buckner, you know, put on a show, 12 sacks, I think he had. He was, you know, everywhere. Just, like I said, swimming past offensive linemen. And what that means is he's working a swim move and using his technique to break down offensive linemen. Those are skills that you have to work very hard to refine. And, DeForest Buckner has been putting in the work and it's showing on the field. And now John Lynch goes out and gets Dee Ford as well to put on the edge of that 3-4 or on the edge of that defense. And that's going to be so huge for what they're trying to do there. Ford, like I said, he comes off the edge full speed. He's very quick. He usually gets around the offensive tackle. It's hard for them to get their hands on him and really get some weight behind their blocks because he's just a step quicker than them. And, you know, when you have a guy that can consistently beat that tackle around the edge, like I said, it leads to a lot of blindside hits on the quarterback. Now, quarterbacks, when they play San Francisco, they got to look out for DeForest Buckner and Dee Ford firing everywhere. And if some of the other guys can step up too, Armstead, Solomon Thomas, some of those other guys, you know, they have on that defense. You know, they just got Quan Alexander too. So if everybody can step up, hopefully they'll have a defense to kind of match, you know, Kyle Shanahan's offense and everything he's been doing on that side of the ball for San Francisco. That's why they brought John Lynch in to construct a world-class defense. that's Lynch's forte, being a former safety. And obviously that's been a lot of the focus since they've been there. They almost took a philosophy that Kyle Shanahan is so skilled that he can make more out of less. I don't know if I would have went that route. I think if I had the greatest, one of the greatest offensive play callers, I think I would have loaded up with offensive talent for him. It seems like San Francisco is going the opposite route, and I know defense wins championships, but John Lynch has been mainly addressing the defense. And like I said, Kyle Shanahan just has to make do with what he has. And because he is such a good offensive play caller, he does take minimal talent and turn it into a competitive group. And I'm not saying San Francisco has no talent, but they could have got some serious, big name players on that offense to go with Shanahan, and they just really haven't done it. They're out there signing Jerick McKinnon and Tevin Coleman. Those guys are good players, but they're not like some of the huge names in the NFL. I even thought, San Francisco would make a run at Marshawn Lynch, because we don't know if he's going back to Oakland or what's happening. He's a much bigger name than any of those guys, or some of the newer running back like Le'Veon Bell. If you got Kyle Shanahan, why don't you go after Le'Veon Bell and give him a world-class running back? Or why not trade for Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell? Or what if they would have tried to trade for Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., and Le'Veon Bell? If you got Kyle Shanahan, a guy that is so good, wouldn't you want to just load him up with those type of players? I don't know, but that doesn't seem to be the route that they're going in San Francisco. Take a look at their acquisitions, D. Ford, Quan Alexander, and who they've drafted, Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster. They've been mainly defense since they've been there. And even Jimmy Garoppolo, if you have Kyle Shanahan, don't you want to get Kyle Shanahan, the best quarterback available? They kind of forced Jimmy Garoppolo into this marquee player role after he had that, hot 6-game stretch his first year there in San Francisco. Comes back that second year, but didn't look nearly as good. Eventually got hurt. I think he tore his ACL, was done the whole year. So, you would think that John Lynch would just load Kyle Shanahan up with all top of the line players, but that hasn't been the case, and we'll see. They haven't been good. I would say John Lynch's, tenure as a GM has been he's been underachieving so far. So the San Francisco 49ers had to get it together. I think D. Ford definitely helps though. Because pairing D. Ford and DeForest Buckner, like I said, is going to be a very, very top-notch pass rushing duo. The next topic we have up, Johnny Manziel will join the AAF's Memphis Express after spending a year up in Canada. That time with the Montreal Alouettes could be the reason Manziel turns things around. Johnny Manziel threw for 5 touchdowns and 7 interceptions during his time with Montreal Alouettes, but the biggest thing the CFL did for the former Heisman winner is condition him. Manziel had been out of football for 2 years before heading to Canada, and he would have been so far behind had he not got some preparation before joining the Memphis Express. Manziel actually has an advantage over anyone who has been away from the game for a significant amount of time, and what if he's a well-oiled machine because he's been getting those reps. If you actually watch the former first-round pick with Montreal, his worst game was his first start, which ended in 4 interceptions. From there, Johnny Football was able to improve quite a bit, and it just goes to show it's about getting back in the swing of things. The hope is he'll be able to take everything he learned over the past year and use it to propel him to success in Memphis. You know, Christian Hackenberg and Zach Mettenberger are the other quarterbacks on the roster, but Hackenberg is a turnover machine, and Mettenberger has an ankle injury. Manziel will have his hands full trying to beat out a healthy Mettenberger, so he has to make the most of these last 4 weeks. That could be Johnny Manziel's window to show what he can do, and there's no room for error. The fans don't care that Manziel is behind when it comes to the playbook and offensive terminology. You know, they want to see results, and that's where Manziel's athleticism can come into play. There were times in the CFL where you could see flashes of the player this guy was at Texas A&M. It's all about going into this situation in top form, and if Manziel has been taking care of himself, it will show on the field. One thing is for certain, this will be a ratings goldmine for the Lions of American football. Everybody wants to watch Johnny Manziel. You know, some of these CFL games, people were on the edge of their seat watching these CFL games. The numbers were through the roof. And to me, that's why the CFL is so mad that Johnny Manziel left. You know, some people speculated that he failed a drug test or he didn't do his requirements. To me, it was obvious he wanted to play football in America. The AAF, the Alliance of American Football, was blowing up. And why spend time in Canada when there's a minor league option in America? And, you know, the CFL wasn't happy that he wanted to break his contract and go play in the AAF. But ultimately, that was the best decision for Johnny Manziel. Even though he made more money up there in the CFL, and even though the CFL is a better run organization and they've been around longer and we know they're probably not going to fold up anytime soon, being able to play in American cities and be in front of an American fan base, I think that was just too good for Manziel to pass up. Probably thought he was going to go to San Antonio to join the Commanders, but the league assigns him to the Memphis Express. Zach Mettenberger and Christian Hackenberger were there. I think Manziel will easily beat out Hackenberger. And like I said, if he's in good shape from that year with the Alouettes and the Hamilton Tiger Cats, I think he got traded halfway through the year. He should be, you know, a step ahead of a lot of the guys that, you know, have been out of football for a while. Now, don't get me wrong, they've been playing for 4 or 5 weeks. So some of those guys, you know, right now might be in a little bit better shape. But if Johnny Manziel played that whole season last year and took care of himself all throughout the offseason, because he had been planning on going back to Montreal, and obviously he wants to put the best product he can on the field. If he's been taking care of himself and taking it seriously, he might be able to come into the situation and make some things happen. Now, it's going to be tough because he doesn't have the rhythm and timing down with his receivers. Doesn't know the playbook. He doesn't know the terminology. And that always sets you way behind, schedule. You're way behind schedule when you don't have those things. But maybe because he's been throwing so much and his arm is been warmed up over the past year, maybe he can just step right in and make some of the throws, make some of the plays. He's always had some escapability and been able to scramble. Really, that's what jumped out at to me when I watched the CFL games. He was just shaking and baking and making defenders miss, very elusive for a quarterback. You know, that's what I look forward to seeing with the Memphis Express. I think he can change his release point, you know, by changing directions and, you know, being evasive as a quarterback. And that allows his receivers to work towards him. And, you know, when he's under center, it's an offense that is all about improv, and you got to be able to go with the flow. So we'll see if that helps Memphis. I'm John Kuzma. That's all I have today. Check out endzoneblog.com. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a great day. I'm signing off.